If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse number 1. By the way, we have Brother Joe Rose with us. He'll be with us the next couple weeks. He's the son of, most of you know, he's the son of Brother Paul Rose. We support him over there in Peru, and we thank God for him. And we'll continue to pray for his father and his family. By the way, they're going to be coming to the States to try to pick up more support in December sometime, and they'll be here for about a year. So pray for them, and also pray for Brother Joe as he's trying to get things situated now here in the States. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you and thank you this morning that we have these people who have gathered together in your church. And Lord, those who are visiting, Lord, we do thank you for them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning, draw ever closer to you. Thank you for the Word of God that we have, that we can look to, that we can know the truths and your character, and what you want us to believe, how you want us to go, the way that you would guide us through your Spirit and your Word. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you give to us, Lord, on this earth, that we would be able to overcome those things that are around us. And Lord, I pray that this morning your Spirit would be with us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We do, folks, live in a time when men and women try to find God through many avenues, and a time when philosophers and theologians are helping men and women to find God in so many various different ways. Let me switch over. But we can rest assured, according to the Word of God, if you believe that this is the Word of God, that there is only one way, and we only have one hope, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to eternal life, and we can know that according to God's own Word. Jesus Christ is that one way. He is the life of men, the Bible says. He is the light of men. He is our Savior. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He is God. And Jesus was brought low for our sakes, lest we never forget. He gave Himself on the cross for our benefit. And after His great show of love and humility, He was lifted up. And folks, that's the only way you're going to be lifted up. Resurrection doesn't come your way unless it's in Jesus Christ. It must be in Jesus Christ. You don't have eternal life without Him. And as Christ was lifted up, so we can be lifted up if we are in Christ. And so Jesus Christ was highly exalted because of His sacrifice, because of His humility, and because of His obedience. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that was given a name for us above every name. Ephesians 1:19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Jesus Christ is far above all principality. Nothing outside of this earth, nothing in this earth is above or beyond His realm. Far above all power and might and dominion in this world and heaven. for all of eternity. He is worthy of all praise and worship. And as He is worthy, we would be found worthless if not for Christ and His mercy and love toward us. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. And listen, without Christ, God the Father cannot be glorified in this day. You cannot glorify God without Christ. It is impossible to glorify the Father without Jesus Christ. Without bowing your knees before Christ and confessing Him as Lord and Savior, we are hopelessly lost and bound for hell, according to the Word of God. Jesus Christ, who was already far above all principality and power and might and dominion, He made Himself obedient to death for our sakes. And listen, we need to get this right. He is far above death. You say, yes, now He's far above death. No, He was far above death before He ever went to the cross. He had dominion over all of these things. He had power over everything. His realm expanded everywhere before creation. He bowed Himself. He came low under the obedience of death, whereas He commanded death prior to that. It's us who fall to the power of death, not God. But He is the one who became obedient to death for our sakes. See, I think sometimes we miss what God did. God is the one who judged man's sin. And death was brought upon us because of our sin. God was far above all that. He commands death. And He came under it for our sins. He put Himself under that judgment for our sins so that He could die and be sacrificed for our sins. So death came upon men by the judgment of God. People can, in this day, smugly look into the face of death and claim no fear, but without Christ, folks, you ought to fear. I know some people say that they laugh in the face of death. I've heard people say that before. They laugh in the face of death, or I'm not afraid of death. And all I know is, without Christ, you ought to be afraid of death. It is something to fear, because it has dominion over us. But in Christ, it does not have dominion over us. That's what we have to look forward to. That's why we can be overcomers in the world, because Christ is overcome, and we being in Christ are overcomers also. But without Christ, we ought to fear. We ought to fear those things to come because of death and the great judgment of God. Look at verse number 10 again of our reading. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. Every creature in heaven will humble themselves before God. Every creature in heaven will fall down and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the worthy one. He is the risen one who defeated sin and death. Glory to Him. Honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of the Revelation, we see a picture of a multitude of seraphim and the elders. That, by the way, that's us. And the angels in the Revelation 4 and 5. We have a heavenly vision of the throne of God, and all the creatures of heaven are bowing and confessing Christ. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 9. Let's take a look at what's going on in heaven. In Revelation 4, 9, it says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And listen, if you ever wanted to know why we were made, or why we have the creation that we have, and why it all exists, listen, it's right there in verse number 11. It is for His good pleasure, folks. And not just that, not that He made us back then for His good pleasure, but that we are for His good pleasure. We exist and we are sustained for His good pleasure. You live and you breathe today for God's good pleasure. And if you decide that you're going to live a different way and go a different way, you're going completely away from your Creator. If you're lost today, you're not living for His good pleasure. If you know Christ, If he saved your soul, you owe it to him to live for him. It is, according to the Bible, your reasonable service. So God is our creator. He sustains us. Listen, folks, but man's not going to destroy the earth. I know it's the big thing now. The earth is getting destroyed by man. God is already judged. When God is ready to completely judge, he'll take the earth when he's ready. He'll judge the earth completely when he's ready. But it sure isn't going to be us that does it. We're not going to destroy it. It'll be God that works it over. It won't be us. There's nothing to fear, folks. You just live for God. Don't worry about all this green stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say something like that, I am not saying we don't take care of things that are God's. We take care of things that are God's. But we don't worry about what's going to happen on this earth. God will take care of the atmosphere as long as he wants to. He'll take care of the green grass and everything else for us to be able to be sustained on this earth as long as he wants to. But John saw a vision of heaven in Revelation chapter number 4. He saw the sea of glass like unto crystal before the throne of God. He saw the rainbow around the throne and the lightnings and thunders. He saw the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God, the Bible says. John saw the glorious sights of heaven and just a glimpse of the worshiping of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he just saw a little piece, a little glimpse, a little speck of time. He saw the white-robed saints of God. He saw the crowns of gold on their heads. As they were seated around the throne, he saw the four heavenly creatures or beasts that cried out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." He saw all the angels around the throne worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Every knee shall bow in heaven. Every tongue will gladly confess the name of Jesus Christ. There won't be any pride in heaven. Every creature is going to know who Christ is. There's not going to be any doubts. There's not going to be any fears. There's not going to be anybody going against the word of God. There's not going to be anybody telling you there's another God or another way to worship. It will be the only way. He'll be the only God, and we'll see him face to face. There won't be any more confusion. Amen. What a day that's going to be. Listen to how our Lord will be honored. All heaven will bow before Christ. The four beasts will cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They know who God is. He's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. He's merciful. Look at verse number 9, Revelation chapter 4. It says that when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lived forever and ever. Listen, folks, they can't sit still. Verse number 10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are in worship God together and sing out together. Why do you think that's something that kind of sends shivers up and down your spine a little bit when you begin to praise God and you hear good music? Because listen, these are the things that God has put in us. Because these are the things that we're going to have when we're in heaven also when we're worshiping God. These are the things we get to look forward to and so many more things. But this is just a little glimpse that the Apostle John got to see. And shared with us in the book of Revelation. There's more. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5, verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. The Lamb of God stood in the midst of the saints in heaven, and they began to sing. You know, I think about that. When we open up our hymnals, we as a congregation representing what we're going to have one day in heaven, how shameful it is if you don't sing. Amen. How shameful it is if you don't open up your mouth and try to sing. You say, I don't have a good voice. It's shameful for you not to, in the midst of the congregation, when that music starts to play and everybody's singing praise the Lord, for you not to open up your mouth and begin to sing. Now, I understand if you're lost, if you don't know Christ, I understand why you can't sing. In fact, you shouldn't sing. What have you got to sing about? And as you read those words, what is it that would give glory to God? What is it that would give joy in your soul if you don't have eternal life? If you've never turned to Jesus Christ, if you don't know Him at all, how can you open up the hymnal and sing and have joy? You can't have it, folks. You must have Christ first. And if you have Him, you ought to sing. This wasn't the first time they sang about their Lord and Savior, folks, in heaven. Oh no. Those saints, I guarantee you, sang when they were on earth. The next two verses puts everything in perspective. In Revelation chapter 5, verse number 11, take a look. It says, And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. There won't be just four beasts and 24 elders and some angels. There will be millions of God's angels and creatures in heaven praising Him. There will be millions of saints falling down and worshiping God. Will be kneeling before Him and confessing Jesus Christ. Millions of people, millions of creatures in heaven that were created by God that will fall down and praise and worship God. Listen, there's nothing you can imagine on the face of this earth or anywhere else that you could ever think of such a thing. The only thing we're going to find it is in the Word of God, and it is a glorious time. It is going to be the greatest time that we've ever had. And listen, it's going to be for eternity. Amen. Forever. I look forward to that time. And in verse number 10 of our text, it tells us that every knee should bow in earth. You know every knee is going to bow in heaven and the tongue confess. But it also tells us in earth that a man or woman that lives and breathes will bow his knee in heaven if first they don't bow their knee in earth. It's not going to happen. All the worshiping and praising of the Lamb in Revelation comes from those who bow their knee first on this earth. The Apostle Paul was one of those. He fell down worshiping worshiping in heaven today because he first worshiped here on this earth. Acts chapter 9 verse number 3, And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul hated Christ. He hated the church. He despised the Lord's church. But one day he fell down before Christ. Paul bowed his knees and confessed Jesus Christ on this earth. And now he confesses in heaven. And he bows the knee in heaven. There are others, the Bible indicates, Philippian jailer. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and every man's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had all fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now listen. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. That Philippian jailer was on his way to hell before he heard Paul and Silas singing praises unto God. Before that day of the earthquake, and he was about to kill himself and do himself in, and they told him of Christ, he bowed the knee, he confessed Jesus Christ, and today he confesses Jesus Christ in heaven.
Amen.
And his house. Jesus Christ is the one we're going to worship, folks. No other God. None will ever take his place.
Amen.
Paul and Silas didn't say bow before Jehovah or Yahweh, or Yahshua or Elohim or Adonai. Those are all names of God, but the name that glorifies the Father, the name above all names, is Jesus Christ, Amen. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the living Word of God, who according to Hebrews 12:2 is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ. No other God. An unbelieving Philippian jailer bowed before Christ on earth. Now he bows before Christ in heaven. Luke 17 tells of a leper who bowed before our Lord. Luke 17:12, it says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him, that is Christ, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" 10 stood before Jesus Christ, full of leprosy. He cleansed them all. He was cleansed on earth, but what matters is that he's cleansed in heaven. Because that's eternity, folks. That's turning to Jesus Christ, bowing the knee before him. It's not about just believing in a God. It's not about just being thankful in a God, or that you're created, or that you have compassion among people, or that you're a good humanitarian, or any of those kinds of things, or that you love the earth, or the trees, or the animals, and all those kinds of things. Are you very kind? All those things, that's fine and dandy. But listen, if you first don't bow the knee before Jesus Christ, if you don't become humiliated and humble before God, knowing that you're a sinner before him. Listen, he came in under all of that, under death. He became as a servant to us. And listen, the least we can possibly do is to know when Jesus Christ is our God and we're sinners, is to humbly come before him and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" So many people claim to be saved, but they don't want to have anything to do with serving God. They want what they want. For that leper, he believed and bowed the knee. Now he believes in heaven with our Lord and Savior. The day that Paul bowed before Jesus Christ, and the very night that Philippian jailer fell down pleading for salvation, and the moment that leper turned and bowed his knees at Jesus Christ, they were made a place in heaven, multitudes. And they were with him. By the way, John saw them. forever sing the goodness of Jesus Christ. For all eternity, they would shout the glory and honor of their Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because they were good, but because Christ was good. Because they bowed their knees and confessed Jesus Christ on earth, they gained eternal life in heaven. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We bow our knee in heaven and in earth, and we confess Jesus Christ and great glories to be gotten. But there's something else too. The Word of God says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things under the earth. We've seen the falling down and worshiping in heaven. We know there's great falling down and worshiping on earth, but under earth. And I thought about that. I said, under earth, what does that mean? Some people say, well, of course, that's people who are dead and buried, you know. Well, wait. He gave us a glimpse of heaven. I mean, we're talking about people who are praising God in heaven. I don't believe in soul sleep. So I don't believe when we're in the grave. I don't believe that we're separated from God. I believe we're with our Lord, as Paul says. So I believe that. So when he talks about under earth, I believe there's something else he's referring to. I believe that every knee of man that would not bow down on earth will bow under earth. I believe that every mouth that would not confess Jesus on earth will confess him under earth. The Bible says that the rich man in Luke 16 fared sumptuously every day. Obviously, he did not have any care for God or obedience to God at all. He had no care but for himself. And so much like the prideful Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, it says two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee thought so much of himself. He was so full of pride. He thought he was so good that when he came before God, he thought he was right there with God. I mean, right there. He didn't have to be. He didn't have to be humble. He didn't have to lower himself. He could stand strong and prideful before God and say, "I'm not as this man, and thank you that I'm not like that person over there, and I'm not like that person over there. I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and so Lord, bless me." And then another man who is a publican and a sinner, he comes and he prays, and listen, he can't even lift up his eyes to the Lord. Amen. That ought to be our position every day. It don't matter what you've done, what you've accomplished. How do you lift up your eyes to God? How can we be full of pride when we've done nothing and God's done everything? That Pharisee went away in his own pride, never bowing, never confessing. And just like that rich man in Luke 16, he would lift up his eyes in hell and he'd be in torments. He'd not bow his knee or confess the Lord as his Savior. A man or a woman doesn't bow their knee here on earth. They won't bow their knee in heaven, but they will bow their knee. There will be a time of confession and bowing of the knee for those who don't bow their knee here. And it won't be an eternity. And they won't be full of joy and glory. There won't be a lot of shouting of the great things of God. No, not none of that. There'll be a lot of shouting, a lot of wailing, a lot of gnashing of teeth. And like that rich man who was sent to hell, he'll bow and he'll confess. And Luke 16:27 says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. And we know he's talking about Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Let me ask you something. Did he believe it then? Did he believe then, at that point, that a man could be saved? And what he needed to believe? Oh yes, send Lazarus. Warn them that they don't come to the place that I'm in. He would confess. From hell, men will confess that Jesus saves. And from hell, the unrepentant will know the value of repentance on earth. From hell, every man and every woman will bow the knee and confess Jesus, but it'll be too late. I remember at Brother Sherwood's presentation, he asked one of the kids, where do you think you're going to go? He said, you know, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. And the kid said, he said, he's going to go to hell. And he said, well, what are you going to do in hell? And that kid said, I'm going to party. But no, there's no party in hell. There's no party. There's nothing good in hell. There aren't any parties there. Be much confessing. Confessing Jesus from hell won't get you to heaven. Bowing the knee in hell won't bring eternal life with the Lord. Hell is going to bring you to a place of sorrow. It's going to bring you to your knees. It'll drive you to cry out, but it'll be in vain. There is no grace of God in hell. There's no mercy. There's no sacrifice for your sin. There's no Lamb of God. There's no answered prayer. There's no justification. There's no glorious throne. There's no singing. There's no falling at the feet of Christ. There's no shouting of praises and worship. There's no rewards or white robes, no crowns of gold, no joy, no relief from the hardships of sin and Satan, no new Jerusalem, no new earth, no glorified body. There is nothing. There's nothing that's going to be good in hell. In fact, it's only going to be torment. And yes, you will confess Jesus Christ. And yes, you will bow the knee, but it's all going to be too late if first you don't bow the knee to Jesus Christ here and now in this life. A lot of people miss it. They think they got another shot, another opportunity. God is so merciful that when I meet with Him, if I'm wrong here on earth, then He'll give me another chance when I stand before Him. No. No. And if you don't believe Him today, in this life, you'll never believe upon Christ. Hell only brings darkness. It brings torments and pain, unquenchable fire, gnashing of teeth. Hell brings thirst and hopelessness. I don't hear anything about a party. When I read my Bible, I don't see anything about a party. I don't see anything about people dancing around with smiles on their face, saying, well, they're in heaven, but we're in hell. Let's just make good of it. It's just only utter and outer darkness. There's nothing good there. It's only pain. People watch so many TV shows, they don't even know what hell is anymore. They make it sound like there's going to be a great kingdom in hell. There'll be no kingdom in hell. The devil's not going to be the king of hell. The devil's going to be in torments just as we are. Now is the appointed time for this. Now is the time to give praise to the Lord. Now is the time to thank God. Amen. Now is the time to bow the knee. Now is the time to confess Christ. Now is the time to get to work. Now is the time to serve God. Now is the time to ask God, God, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do? I know what I was thinking. I know what I would like. I know what I would want to do. But Lord, what would you have me to do? Because folks, this life is fleeting. It's going to be over. Say, unless the Lord come. Set us, spark us off to say, hey, let's get the Lord's work done. Lord, what would you have me to do? Put aside everything else while you can to do something for God. Paul writes in Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. This promise is going to be fulfilled one way or another, folks. Every tongue is going to confess, every knee is going to bow. Promise is going to be fulfilled. And you say, I'm not going to do it. There are people, scores of people out there that I'm not going to do it. I am not going to bow the knee. I refuse to bow the knee. That's weakness to me. I'll live my own life the way I want to live it. And God says you can. I won't force it on you. But one day it's going to happen. You're going to bow the knee before Christ. It won't be on earth. And it won't be in heaven. But it will be in hell. So we'll either bow the knee worship God. All those glories we spoke about, that's just a little tiny piece of what we're going to have in eternity. Or else we're going to give ourselves up. The Lord is going to take us. He's going to send us to hell. Folks, have you bowed the knee to Christ?
Have you repented of your own sin and believed upon Jesus Christ? I ask you this question. You say, you're preaching to a choir today. We don't hardly have any visitors or anything else. You're preaching to people here every single week in and week out. Well, I'm just preaching to a group of people. Either you turn yourself to righteousness of God and live for Him. I understand that. If you're a saint of God, don't tell me you haven't gotten yourself in sin and you start going in the wrong direction. You need to get right with God. But I'm talking about those who maybe have been playing a little bit of a game with the Lord, never have bowed their knee, never have truly given themselves unto God. Not Jesus Christ is not their Lord and Savior. He's just a God. They know all about Him. They hear all about Him. You hear Him preached all the time. You open up your Bible, you see it. You say, oh yeah, praise God. But when you get on your own and when you do your own thing, Jesus Christ is nowhere near you, nor do you think of Him. Said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. We know that's Jesus Christ. And it says this in verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. That is, those who will fall down before Christ, they'll be broken. Their spirits will be broken. And God will lift them up. But then it goes on and it says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. There's judgment coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the merciful, yes, loving God, who for a time gives us opportunity to believe upon Him. But listen to me, folks. There's a time when if we don't bow before Him, then He'll commit judgment upon us. And on purpose, it says, grind them to powder. You'll be utterly destroyed. You say, then I won't have a life. No, you'll have a soul still. It'll exist. You won't have a life. You will exist, and you'll exist in hell. Folks, are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning? Have you bowed the knee to Christ? Are you saved this morning? See, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know for a fact. Get yourself right with God. Start serving God. That's what the Lord wants from us now. And one day, we'll be given all glory to God in heaven. Amen. Let's stand.